Good morning, everyone. How are you today? It's good. It's good to see everyone. You guys like coming up here for children's messages? I'm going to start with a knock-knock joke. Can you believe it? I'm going to tell a knock-knock joke. Have you ever heard a knock-knock joke before? Raise your hands. Okay, good. If you haven't, well, you can put hands down. If you haven't, this will be a great new experience. I'll be excited to be the one. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Does everyone get how that goes? Knock, knock.
Who's there?
All right. Now I forgot my knock, knock joke. Isn't that funny? Isn't that good? Knock, knock. We'll try one more time.
Who's there?
Canoe.
Canoe.
Can you come out to play with me after church? Did that surprise you a little bit? All right, good. Okay. Here's another one. Knock, knock. Boo. Why are you crying? We were forgiven of our sins already. You have no reason to cry anymore. You like that one? All right. Knock, knock. Tank. You're welcome. Knock, knock. Orange. Orange, you glad this is my last knock-knock joke? Yeah, me too. I don't like doing that a whole lot in church, but there's a real reason for us to think about prayer. How do we think about our hands when we pray? Kind of like this, maybe? We fold our hands because we don't want them busy with other things. We want to not be distracted. We want to focus on what we're thinking. But today, we're told that prayer is almost kind of like our hand going like this. A little knock, knock. And some of those jokes surprised you. Guess what? A lot of times God's answers will surprise us also. I think Abraham was a little surprised when he heard, after praying over and over again, that God said yes. I won't destroy those wicked cities if I find even 10 righteous people there. As it turns out, there weren't 10 people with faith that brings righteousness, and so the cities had to be destroyed. We're going to hear Jesus in our lesson today say, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." Isn't that a pretty good promise? Just think about that. You and I should have no business coming to the God of all things. And yet God invites sinners to pray to Him. And He even promises that He'll listen. We're going to find things. We're going to be answered. And doors are going to open when we say prayers. So if someone's sick, what do you think we should do? We could help them. That's a really good answer. I'm certainly suggesting help as part of this. Pray for them. That's right. We knock on the door. God, will you please help that person? Lucy? I'm sorry, Ivy. I said that wrong. You're right next to Lucy.
You can give them medicine.
You can give them medicine. That's absolutely right. And before we do all those things, and while we're doing all those things, we can also pray for that person. Okay, if two countries are fighting a great war, what could we do? That might be harder to go give them medicine or help. What would we do? That's right. We'll pray for them again. Dear God, please help those two countries find peace. If we've got a big challenging day coming up, what can we do? Yes, Arya. Pray. Exactly right. That's the first thing. And then as the day goes on, we'll continue to pray. And we will be surprised at the way God answers us. Just as surprising as it is that God listens to sinners like you and me. For the times that we hit, kicked, lied, and all those things, God still listens to us. Why is that? Why does God listen to our prayers? How could He possibly listen to sinners like you and me, who have failed over and over again, who've proved we're not perfect like Him? Because He forgives us. Now, how does God forgive us? What had to happen for our sins to be forgiven?
died on the cross.
He died on the cross. And you know, just like all Christian things, that's where our prayer goes. It goes right through the cross to God above. You can't pray to God the Father without God the Son. And because Jesus unlocks heaven for us, we get to knock, knock. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for the chance to knock, knock on your door to hear what your answer may be, or to help us struggle, for allowing us to pour out our hearts to you because of Jesus. Help us pray even more. Amen. Our gospel this morning is Luke chapter 11, first 13 verses. On another occasion, Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.'" He said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and tell him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, because a friend of mine who is on a journey has come to me, and I do not have anything to set before him.' And the one inside replies, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give it to you.' I tell you, even if he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his bold persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. I tell you, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, would give him a snake instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, would give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of our Lord. Brothers and sisters in Jesus, grace and peace are yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The phrase, "how to pray," receives over 131,000 searches on YouTube every month in America. The phrase, "how to pray," receives 14,800 unique monthly searches on Google in America. There are different variations, like prayers for strength, prayers for children, prayers for healing. In America alone, it's rather interesting that 55% of the population say, they report to studies, that they pray every day. Which is really pretty interesting when you look at the curve on that. For underdeveloped nations, the prayers are high on that list. But as nations develop, it gets lower and lower and lower. And here's America out here. 55% of the population say they pray every day. It doesn't talk about exactly how or to whom or what they pray. But that's just the statistic. So that every week, nearly 3/4 of Americans pray to God. So, point being, many of us pray often. And as Christians gathered here in this place at Bethlehem, I think the statistics are probably a lot higher. And when the disciples asked Jesus to pray, he didn't want them to worry or wonder about their prayers or to be confused. In the same way, today, Jesus doesn't want you to worry or wonder or be confused about all the prayers that you say. He wants you to have confidence in him as you pray. And so, our Father wants our prayers. We can say this in two different ways. He knows when you knock, and he outdoes what you ask. He wants you to say those prayers. Just the very fact that he knows when you knock is one of the most wonderful promises I can think of. The Lord of the universe, our Father who spins the galaxies and sets them in their place, who understands all of science before it was ever discovered, who knows how the world was created better than anyone and how it continues, who answers the underlying questions behind physics, behind chemistry, behind all that you know, and who understands the pattern of your life and your behaviors better than you do. For some reason, he wants to put his ear to your heart. He wants to know just what you have to say, just what you have to pray. And he knows when you come knocking. He absolutely does. Jesus gives us this truth with a parable. There's this boldly persistent friend. I'm not sure how you define friend, but we might define it a little different than in the ancient Orient. Maybe this was a little more common. If you had a guest show up in the middle of the night, you were really expected to be a host at all hours. It was a little bit more normal than we would say. And it wouldn't be uncommon for someone to have to go next door and borrow something like 3 loaves of bread. And the word for boldly persistent for this friend is actually a word that means shameless, a shameless friend. The importunate friend, they said in older translations. This is a friend with a lot of nerve. He's got a lot of brass coming late at night. And even in the ancient Near East, they knew that was still a pretty bold move. It still took a lot of brass. Now, you might think that when the man who comes to his neighbor's house, to his friend's house, and he raps on the door, and he says, "Hey, I got another friend in town. I need 3 loaves of bread," that after the person says, "We're trying to get a good night's sleep in here," they'd go away. You might expect the person, the homeowner, to come out with a broom and shoo that friend away, or maybe with some choice words, some choice gestures, maybe with the weapon to back up his words. That's maybe how we would handle it in our time. And yet Jesus says the very opposite. If you keep on rapping at the door, that friend is going to get up and give you everything that's needed. It's so much more than what you and I sometimes think of. Will I be bothering God? Will it be an inconvenient time? It's convenient for me. Will God really listen? Have I done enough good things to this point when I say a prayer? None of that finds its way into Jesus' parable. He knows when you knock. He wants you to knock. He desires that knocking. You and I might not appreciate that kind of persistence, but God does. That kind of shamelessness, that kind of brass. When we pray, hoping to gain something from God, when we continue to pray, when we pray again and again, when we pour out our hearts before the Lord of the universe, something so miraculous happens that many people just kind of glaze over it, either because they're too used to it or they're too used to hearing other people doing it. And that's he hears us. He knows when we knock. It's such a brilliant truth from Jesus, who looks at the crowd and to their face he says, "Though you are evil." He calls them out and says, "They're sinners," to their face. He knows these aren't perfect fathers, perfect mothers, perfect children. He knows these are dysfunctional families. He knows these are people with real issues, real problems, real violence in the home, perhaps. Real arguments, real pain, real suffering. And he doesn't say, "Because you didn't be holy as I, the Lord your God, am holy," which is a requirement, a serious requirement of the law. He doesn't say, "Because of that, I'm not going to listen to your prayers." He says, "I'm going to listen to all of those prayers when you come knocking." That's the glory and grace and mercy of God our Father. That's the good news of the gospel. And that's the power of putting your hands together and trusting Christ in your prayers. Because Jesus himself invites us to do it. Now, it's a matter of fact that we can never pray as Jesus taught us. It's a matter of fact that we might fall into what Jesus later warns about, vain repetition, or mumbling and babbling like pagans. But when it comes to our prayers, God knows those who have faith and who trust in Him. Those who approached God out of trust and who love Jesus and what He's done on their behalf, even in the smallest amount, there is no evil deed that can separate you from God the Father because you have Jesus. And we prayed it before. We prayed for forgiveness for our sins. We saw a new little believer being born into his baptism, being born into this new life in Christ. And I guarantee that little baby is going to learn how to say prayers despite sins. In fact, oftentimes it's because of our very sins that we go to God in prayer, confessing them and hearing His pure, free-for-nothing forgiveness. And for the time that we forgot, like faithless fools, to approach God in prayer, we go to the very beginning of this lesson where we see what Jesus was doing. He was praying. And He was doing it perfectly. And He was doing it on our behalf for the times when we didn't pray so well. Now, part of the reason why the disciples sought Jesus' teaching on prayer was because they probably figured there's got to be some way we can get exactly what we ask for if we pray in just the right way. They were maybe looking for the silver bullet, the magic incantation that would really finally assault the gates of heaven so that God finally gives it up, gives up what they ask for. And Jesus seeks to correct that by outdoing what they ask. We're not told that anyone in this lesson gets what they ask for. You think about that? Go through these little parables and these things. When the neighbor comes and raps on the door, by the end of the knocking and assaulting on that door, does he get the 3 loaves of bread? I guess I don't know, because it says he's given everything he needs. That could have been more. That could have been more. That could have been something different. Could have been something much better by the time his friend is up. Or think about that. Keep asking and you will receive. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and the door will be open to you. In the original language, the word "it" isn't in there. Ask and you will receive. It doesn't say what. Seek and you will find. Exactly what will we find? The word "door" or "it" isn't in there when it says knock and the door will be open to you. It's really just knock and it will be open to you. I don't really know exactly what God's answer to those prayers are. Jesus doesn't specifically say it's just what's being asked for. He knows there's fathers in the crowd, so he talks to the fathers. He says, if anyone asks you for a piece of bread, if your son asks you, that person you love in your life, that little boy, little girl you know how to care for, if they ask for a piece of bread, are you going to give them a stone? The obvious answer, no, absolutely not. If they ask for a fish, are you going to give a snake? No, that would be dangerous. If they ask for an egg, you're not going to give a scorpion. That's crazy, because no loving father does that. Even sinning fathers know that's not how you treat children. But he doesn't say what fathers will give them. And I'm willing to wager that most fathers, when they're asked for a piece of bread, they're going to make a sandwich. They're going to toast that bread. They might give more than one sandwich. When asked for an egg, okay, how would you like them? Scrambled, like an omelet, which is like them over easy. When they're asked for a fish, let's go to Red Lobster. Let's go to Long John Silver, my personal favorite. Don't judge. There's one in Noblesville. I love it. God doesn't say they're going to get just what they ask for. Jesus doesn't say that. It could very well be that God gives you something much greater, because God outdoes our prayers. Just think about it. God knows in every possible world what's best for us. He knows under every circumstance what is good for you. Sometimes we pray for something and when we don't get it, we assault heaven with our puny anger as if that's going to change anything or as if God's not hearing us. But what's really going on is God knows our circumstances and He knows just what the right answer is. for any and every circumstance. He knows what the best possible world is for you and for your faith. This becomes very palpably true in the life of a Christian that you and I know as Saint Augustine. There was a Christian woman named Monica, happened to be Augustine's mother, in the 4th century, and she knew her son Augustine was a blatant unbeliever. He chased after every desire. He chased after women, every lust, anything that would please him in the moment. That's the kind of unbeliever Augustine was. And oftentimes, because of what was handed down, the history of the fact of the matter, that Monica prayed for Augustine that he came to faith. And one of her specific prayers was, she knew her son Augustine was going to Rome, and she knew that he would be able to fulfill every unsatisfying desire, every lust, every pleasure, everything that was not good for his soul. And she prayed for his soul that he wouldn't get to go to Rome. How did God answer that prayer? Augustine was permitted to go to Rome. But in Rome, Augustine was converted as a Christian. So you see that even though Monica's specific prayer wasn't answered, her ultimate desire for her son's eternal soul was met with the good news of Jesus Christ on the cross. The message of the gospel that brings salvation and eternal life in heaven. And I think you and I can look at that example in our prayers as well. As we sort of look around at the beauty of God's creation, we might consider our lives kind of like a tapestry. What a beautiful design. We can see the outside, the one side of that tapestry, but what we can't do in life is crawl behind the tapestry and see all the buttons, hooks, and strings, and threads, and how that's all bound together. That's God's job. We'll leave that in His hands when we pray. And so we often say, "Your will be done." We often say, "In your name." And we pray by faith alone. Things that God's answering even before we pray them. Because that's how majestic and magnificent and almighty our God is. He's eternal and He knows everything. And He's alongside you every time that you pray. So just wait and see. Brothers and sisters, at times we'll be able to look back and say, "Oh, that's how you answered my prayer, God. Thank you." Other times we're going to look back and say, "I still don't get it. I'm not really sure where we're going on this whole tapestry," which seems more like a runaway car with a brick on the gas pedal. But we still approach God trustingly. And we still know that He knows when we knock. And the most beautiful example I can think of God outdoing us in our prayers is Jesus Christ Himself. Just think about this. How many times have you said, "God, I want to be better. Help me be better. I want to do better. Help me do better. I want to be a better father, a better mother, a better pastor, a better teacher, a better son, a better daughter, a better grandparent, a better friend, a better coworker." When God has already done this, He didn't just give you an opportunity to do better. He gave you a new life. He gave you a Savior. He came down and wrapped Himself in human flesh like you in a place called Bethlehem. And He lived a perfect life and marched to the cross for you. The kinds of things that you and I couldn't do. Live perfectly, pay for our sins, and live again. Jesus has already answered that prayer. And the answer isn't always, "We're going to be able to do better." But it certainly is, "Your sins are forgiven," for the times you forgot to pray. For the times you didn't trust in God as you prayed. For the times you asked with wrong motives. God says, "Appeal to this Spirit who groans for you, who loves you, and to the Savior Himself who prayed perfectly as your substitute." And with that confidence, knowing our Father wants to hear you, brothers and sisters, pray more. Amen.